Northwest, the legend of Bigfoot dates back hundreds of years.
This is Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange.
He became the first cabinet-level politician from a G8 country to publicly state that there is extraterrestrial life present on Earth.
Strange Harbor, online at strangeharbor.net.
They say everything that we know, everything that we are, everything that we have comes from the people living on Nibiru.
Strange Harbor, be strange.
And another exciting episode of Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird, we talk about UFOs and Sasquatch and conspiracies and ghosts and all sorts of fun stuff. Sherry DeSouce, Johnny Manson, and our guest, the Washington State Director of MUFON, Maureen Morgan. Welcome back to the show. Now, there has been a lot going on in ufology lately, that I don't think a lot of people are aware of.
Particularly since, it all started in November of 2017 when the New York Times came out with its first ever front page article on UFOs.
Right.
That on
right.
Saturday, and they followed it with an online story. The same day, the Washington Post and the online journal Political came out with their stories. And of course, the New York Times linked a video that the infamous Tic Tac video, which of course has been gone viral and probably had more hits than any other video ever downloaded on YouTube.
There's a whole fleet of them. Look on the NSA. My gosh. They're all going against the wind. The wind's 120 knots to the west. Look at that thing, dude. Well, if there's like a thing, it's rotating. Oh my gosh, dude.
It was kind of quiet for a year, and then all of a sudden, in 2019, we started getting reports from the Navy that the video, there was much controversy as to whether those videos were real or not. And I think there were more ufologists that were ripping apart, including me, that were ripping them apart as a hoax, put together a number of things that did not seem consistent. And the Navy came out in 2019 and verified that they were real. And then since then, there has been this onslaught of media attention, you know, not just in the New York Times, but in the Washington Post, the Washington Examiner, CNN, Fox. You look online and you can find that there's been media coverage almost constantly for at least the last year and a half. And then, it was in April that the Senate Intelligence Committee, headed by Senator Rubio from California, put in an order that the Navy reveal its undisclosed UFO materials and make it available to the public. And this has been, absolutely a tremendous step forward. It was back in November, or no, not November, but in April, when a lot of information came out about the Eric Davis, Admiral Wilson memo leak of the year. There is actually a memo that came out of the astronaut Edgar Mitchell's personal archives that verify that the whole UFO issue was being discovered being discussed at the highest levels. That has come out. And then, of course, the New York Times just recently came out with yet another article on July 23rd, again bringing up UFOs, followed a week later with yet another article from written by the two journalists, Ralph Blumenthal and Leslie Kane, talking about it's not a matter of belief, it's a matter of looking at the evidence. Since that December 2017 front page article in the New York Times came out, the media has been picking this up internationally and just going wild with it. And to me, even though, you know, it's still slow disclosure, the drip, 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 I think, is speeding up to be more of a flow. I have my misgivings, though, when I look at how it's being presented and how it's being filtered and whether this is going to be ultimately filtered as a threat.
The government is consistently saying the general public would panic.
I think that's garbage. I think it all depends on how it's projected to the public. And I think if it's, you know, with President Trump's declaration that space is a warfighting domain, we need a space force. And you know good and well, the United States spends more than the next eight countries combined on the military. Anybody has anything out there that's a threat? We do. So if not the Russians, the Indians, the Pakistanis, the Chinese, who? It suggests to me that the space force is preparing somehow to deal with an external or extraterrestrial threat.
The new Space Force is on alert right now because of Russia's mysterious testing of possible deadly anti-terrorism satellite weapons that are in orbit. U.S. and Russia have been trying to get into some negotiations over the space conduct and how we're going to do it, and then China's going to be in there too. What do you believe will happen with so many countries like Russia and China trying to get bases on the moon and beyond? What's going to happen?
First of all, that Russian anti-satellite that was going to destroy their anti-satellite threats.
Right.
And it mysteriously downed. It was apparently shot down. And the U.S. says, we didn't do it. I mean, could it possibly have been the others that brought it down? Anyway, there's a big to-do right now about what happened to that Russian satellite. Who brought it down? We say we didn't.
Well, they snuck up on our spy satellite.
At the same time, did we necessarily bring down a Russian satellite?
I don't know, but it's getting crowded up there, Maureen.
Right.
Oh, yes. Starlinks. Elon missed Starlinks. He plans to put 12,000 Starlink satellites up there. That's cost $10 billion. And you have to think, now, first of all, who's financing this? And nothing anymore is ever a single purpose. You know, he purports to, you know, want to bring high-speed broadband to every little remote village on Earth. Is this being weaponized at the same time?
Right.
So every single person on Earth is also being spied on. And then you think, well, that's only the beginning. Now, Amazon has come out and said they're going to put in $10 billion to put up another 3,200 Starlink-like satellites. And now when do the Chinese come in? And the Indians come in? And the Saudis come in? And at what point do we have tens of thousands of satellites up there? And it's just the sky is just obliterated.
And who owns the space? I mean,
that's right. We are never put in the allowed in the discussion. And Elon Musk says, well, the taxpayers should pay for this. Well, we weren't even a part of the discussion whether this should be done in the first place. And what it's, you know, is it for multi purposes? So, yes, it's I have big misgivings on that. What we're seeing with Starlinks is just the beginning of a sky full of satellites that literally is going to obliterate our view of space.
This past Sunday, Crew Dragon astronauts in a SpaceX capsule splashed down safely near Pensacola, Florida, into the Gulf of Mexico. That just happened. All right, and this is the first NASA water landing from space since 1975. Do you think that NASA program to build on the moon and start a colony on Mars will increase the UFO sightings in the world?
Well, frankly, I do, because I don't think this is going to be good news for the others.
Mm.
One of the things you have to think about is that we don't do... well, first of all, almost every astronaut that has gone to the moon, walked on the moon, has come back with these basically hints that we are not alone. When you think that even back as far as 1958, the U.S. government came up with this plan to nuke the moon, to let the Russians who had just launched Sputnik, to give them the message of, hey, you know, we're stronger than you are. You know, so the others, whoever they may be, you know, I frankly don't think we will be allowed to colonize the moon, Mars, or any place else, because there's no reason to believe we won't take our warmongering from the Earth to the moon or any place else and end up having these vast interplanetary wars going on.
I don't know if they'll stop us from putting a colony up there, but I'd be willing to bet they're not going to let us have any nuclear weapons.
Why would they even let us colonize? And you think even, you know, if you remember, you may or may not be aware of the incident with the Russian probe in 1989, where there was a Russian probe that was going to fly by the Mars moon Phobos, which is a really strange object to start with. And it disappeared. But the last photo it took was of this huge, multi-mile-long, cigar-shaped object. And then, poof, there's nothing after that. And there's been a number of what appear to be shadows of similar kind of craft on both the moon and on Mars.
That's right.
That would certainly hint that, no, it's one thing to send up a probe, you know, that's... taking samples from the, you know, from the ground, that sort of thing. But I think once we start colonizing, I think that's I just don't think that's going to be allowed to happen. If you believe that the others are out there, and they've been surveilling our, you know, our nuclear activities since the 1940s, that I just don't think that they're going to allow us to take our warmongering off planet.
Do you or do you not believe that we're in talks with alien agencies right now?
How can we know? I don't know what they would have to talk to us about. I mean, anything that can go interdimensional, anything that can shape shift from, you know, an orb into a craft and then disappear through slits in the sky. And believe me, we get reports about things like that. What do we have to say that they have to listen to?
Would it be like the equivalent of a lab rat wanting to talk to the scientist studying that lab rat?
You nailed it. That's right. The lab rat, the lab rat represents nothing more than a tool to experiment on. I mean, the lab rat has nothing to say, and even if it did, it had nothing to say that they would want to hear.
There are reports that we've been in talks with aliens who are more beneficial to us, and letting us know that there are alien species that are not kind to planets like ours. If that were true, and not speculation, then the fact, or not a fact, that aliens are on this planet right now, how do you get around that? If you have people telling you this at MUFON, or you've got people telling you this that are disclosing because they've actually seen aliens. I mean, I've read reports that curl my toes, that there are reptilians at our poles, and they live underground near a heated volcanic under ice. Have you heard any of those reports?
Oh, absolutely. And you're just, I hear enough experiencers talk about missing pregnancies, being on crafts where they've seen, you know, the vats of body parts and hybrids, and being introduced to their children who are clearly some kind of a hybrid being.
Right.
And, you know, there's certainly speculation out there, I think has a certain amount of credence that they're among us. And who's to say that they aren't replacing us? I mean, after all, we may represent some kind of a Neanderthal to whoever these beings are. And, you know, who knows?
Well, then perhaps if they have all this scientific ability, they had a hand in changing our DNA so that we would become more like them.
Well, we could be an experiment that's gone amok. You know, maybe they never expected to be as warmongering as we are, and it seems to me that this has been going on for, you know, for thousands of years. So,
right.
Who knows? Maybe we're a failed experiment.
I hope not.
When you hear about, you know, this, you know, these plans as early as 1958 to nuke the moon, to let the Russians know that, yeah, you put up the Sputnik up, but we can blast a hole in the moon. And you think about the mentality of those scientists who can kiss their wives and baby in the morning, go to work, and actually develop these weapons of what mass assured a destruction, knowing that at a press of a button, their wife and baby are going to be fried, and still go to work and feel good about it?
That's old science now. Virus is going to be the one that kills everybody.
Biological warfare.
Yeah.
The intent is the same, even though the method may change.
Right, but it keeps the buildings intact.
The mentality seems to be there.
Why can't we all just love?
Oh, golly, wouldn't that be nice?
MUFON, it benefits humanity as a means for all people around the world to express their UFO and alien experiences without ridicule. What else does MUFON do besides have the largest database of UFO and abduction incidents since 1969?
People often will put MUFON down for one reason or another. And frankly, I treasure it because it is the only voice that the people have who experience some kind of unexplainable event. And often unexplainable events that that terrify them. And they can contact MUFON and talk to somebody like me or you and have somebody listen to them in a non-judgmental way, take down the information, investigate the case, and then they can feel better about whatever it was that they experienced. And in a lot of ways, to me, between MUFON's database and the National UFO Reporting Center, there's something like 300,000 sighting reports.
Right.
And it's like, what do we know? I mean, we virtually know nothing from it. So it's largely what we learn is coming from the experiencers, those who have had some kind of close encounter. So, you know, to think, well, the primary purpose for me is being a voice for the people. They can call and talk to somebody and not feel crazy. First words out of like 90% of the people who call MUFON is, you're going to think I'm crazy. So you assure them they're not crazy and they're not alone. And without MUFON, you have, what, To the Stars Academy, which seems to be a CIA counter-op. You have Bob Bigelow, who is basically a UFO black hole. We are pretty much it in the world for people to be able to contact and be able to relay their information, and most of it, which goes, you know, in our files, and you know, it does, no one has access to it. Basic information goes on CMS, but the bulk of what people tell us, you know, pretty much it stays with us in private.
Have you ever had like a misidentified experience, like someone contacts and reaches out thinking that this is UFO related, but then it ends up being, wow, actually, I don't think this is UFO related. I think this is ghost or a Bigfoot or something else.
Well, we have a lot of Venus. Venus was very bright this year, and I don't think a whole lot of people are very sky savvy. So we would get reports of Venus, you know, following them home, shining through their windows at them. You know? I mean, literally, you know, just if you see Venus for the, I mean, if you notice Venus for the first time, and it's exceptionally bright, that was one of the things that really unnerved people. And, you know, we could then reassure them. And it's better it's better that they know that it's Venus than it's an alien invasion. That we, starlings, oh, my goodness, we probably have a third more sighting reports this year than we've ever had before, largely because of the Starlink sightings. People don't know what it is. And all of a sudden, they see these trails of lights going across the sky and are clueless to as to what it is.
Right.
We know about Starlinks, but a lot of people do not.
Well, with all these UFO disclosures and, you know, from the Navy, the government, British government is going to put it out, and many other countries are going to be putting out disclosures. How is MUFON going to help all those international communities to adjust to an alien presence in our skies?
Well, in a lot of ways, what MUFON and the National UFO Reporting Center, which is also Washington State, and it's directed by Peter Davenport over near Davenport, Washington, eastern side of Washington, you know, what MUFON can do along with New Force is give a historical perspective. Because what a lot of us suspect is that with, say, the U.S. Navy coming out with these new guidelines, April 2019, they come out with these new guidelines that they're finally going to be taking pilot reports of UFOs seriously. And then you have, you know, you have the Tic Tac videos,
right,
which date back to 2004. But the fact of the matter is, this has been going on for 70 to 80 years. You know, so it's basically as though they're stopping the clock and starting it with that Tic Tac video in 2004. And, you know, you had, you know, the Battle of Los Angeles was in 1942. You had 10,000 Foo Fighter reports, encounters with pilots all over the world. This was global and verified by every leader, like Air Marshal Dowling in Britain, you know, who said, you know, we've got to study these things. They're not ours. So, and then you had surveillances of Hanford in late 44, 45, 8 months before the bombs were dropped on, you know, on Japan. Pilots that were deployed from the Pasco Naval Air Station to, like, intercept these objects were reporting, and in written documents, you know, that they were encountering objects the size of three aircraft carriers side by side hovering over Hanford. January 1945. I mean, it goes on and on and on. You have the, you know, the UFO over the flyover DC in 52. You had countless nuclear facilities you know, where missiles were being shut off. I mean, this. So I think what you have to do, what they're trying to do, is not to have people think about the previous 70 years in which all of this stuff was being denied and lied about, so that basically what they're doing is covering up the government's deception going back to at least the early 1940s. So that way they don't have to be accountable for all, I mean, just a history of lies and deceit.
Human beings are far more savvy than they were in the 1930s as far as UFOs, UAPs, USOs. The Navy's been watching unidentified flying objects going to and from the ocean for years. And so with all this going on, let's pretend that that all over the world for about 24 hours, hundreds of alien UFOs crowd the skies without any aggressive activity. In your opinion, what will the U.S. people and the government and the military do during this kind of first contact?
I don't know who was spreading the conspiracy theory of Project Bluebeam, in which the military would project UFOs up into the sky. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were a lot of people who were theorizing that even the Phoenix Lights, you know, where you had a triangle the size, I mean, literally that went from horizon to horizon.
Right.
Phoenix, that was a Project Bluebeam. I think there'd be a lot of people who'd be very skeptical that this wasn't a, first of all, some kind of a government false flag. But I honestly don't know. You know,
we have to take the government's word for it, or the pilots that are up in the air, that what they're seeing is the actual unidentified flying objects. So if there's some kind of holograph or our own craft, I mean, there are those that believe that we have already craft that are shaped like a triangle, and the United States Navy took out a patent for it. It goes from the water to the atmosphere to outer space. On the patent, it said it's active. They have been using it. So maybe what fills our skies is just our own product.
I think if there wasn't a history going back decades of a UFO presence, of a non-human presence on Earth, you know, one could suspect that. And also, if you've erased history prior to 2004, when that Tic Tac video came out, you could say, oh, well, this is all modern technology, this is all military. But clearly, those 10,000 Foo Fighter reports that went from, you know, Europe to Sumatra, those were not any governments. Those were the real deal. I think if this was a true UFO presence, they would probably do something in addition, like blotting out the moon or doing something to kind of get the message across that, not, this isn't anything that comes from Earth. This is above and beyond.
Right.
The complicating factors is that we don't know what's been going on.
Let's talk more about this on the UFO Disclosure with the Washington State Director of the Mutual UFO Network, Maureen Morgan, on Strange Harbor.
You're listening to Strange Harbor, Ghosts, UFOs, Aliens, Sasquatch, All Things Strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.
Welcome to Strange Harbor. If you've had an out-of-the-ordinary experience, then come to strangeharbor.net and let us know what it is.
It's Strange Harbor, where we talk about the weird. Cherie DeSouce and Johnny Manson here, and our guest, the Washington State Director for MUFON, Maureen Morgan. We've been talking about the government pretty much admitting UFOs are real, and most of us just didn't care, didn't listen, or whatever.
I think there are a few people who are aware that there's $22 trillion unaccounted for in the Department of Defense budget, and this has been tracked since, golly, 2000 by Catherine Austin Fitz. She has taken it onto herself to follow the money. And it shows that there is, I mean, this huge amount. This is the equivalent to the entire GDP for the United States in 1 year. And it's missing. It's unaccounted for. It's gone into the black world. You know, in the meanwhile, everybody in Congress is fighting over a measly trillion or two for stimulus when no one's looking for the $22 trillion from the Defense Department. That's totally unaccounted for. It could be totally unethical. I just don't think they're doing bases on the moon or Mars because I just don't think they're allowed to.
They are going to try. China right now is on the backside of the moon, and they are looking for places to make a colony. And, you know, people want to get to Mars, and they're going to use the moon as a jumping point. So unless, you know, the aliens specifically try to stop us, which would be a whole nother can of worms, I don't know. I mean, what's going to happen?
Could they put us back in our little labs like good little rats? Hey, you get back in your box.
Well, you know, you have to think, at what point do we become a danger to them? You know, because we have no idea what CERN and the new super improved enhanced CERN is going to be capable of doing.
Right. Right.
And there's been discussion about how nuclear weapons can actually, you know, rip holes into space-time.
Right.
You know, no idea where our actions may actually endanger the others, whether they're interdimensional, whatever. You just have to wonder at what point I have no doubt that they're in total control. Any kind of deal we have with them is on their terms. You know, at what point do they put us, you know, back in the cage?
Well, I understand from what I've read that there are more than one alien species. There are many, and they have issues with one another.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever's benevolent with us, within reason, tit for tat, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are factions of aliens that would like to just come in and rape our planet of all the benefits that it has, whether it's water, minerals, and the moon is full of minerals, gold, silver, and countries are fighting to get their space programs up there so they can collect all of the minerals.
Who owns the moon? Who can say, oh, I'm going to go take all these minerals?
Well,
and
we do, because we're going to dominate.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like we, you know, it's, I'm getting these, the, this terminology like a manifest destiny. You know, we have this manifest destiny. We have the obligation to go up and plant our flag and claim it, just as we did, you know, 100 and some years ago. And it's, I'm hearing that rhetoric again. And again, this is very unnerving because it's very hostile.
Well, there are those people that believe that the moon is hollow. And that when NASA hit the moon, it binged like a bell. So if it is a satellite, because it doesn't rotate like normal moons do around planets, who put it there and for what purpose?
I hope this isn't going to set up in people's mind that I'm some kind of a conspiracy theorist, but I'm right there with you. You know, there are so many anomalies about the moon that you really have to think. I mean, it's a stretch to think that the moon is a natural object. Whoever's capable of hauling the moon and depositing it or parking it where it's at is really technologically so far ahead of us. You know, that makes it laughable that we to be in negotiations with them.
I like to say in politics a lot, and it kind of pertains here, how many coincidences does it take before you start going,
You know, I'm a new member of MUFON. I read the MUFON Journal issue of July of 2020. It talks about a proposed Earth Council constitution. Now, this is in MUFON, and they're talking about preparing for first contact. Have you read it?
Yeah, to me, I couldn't believe my eyes. You know, This is, you know, the very fact that, in a way, you know, it's almost like the, you know, this whole Star Trek about, you know, the Federation out there. And then, you know, the current, I would say, almost like New Age belief in, you know, the Galactic Federation of Light. And I actually had a psychic once tell me that I had been invited to be an ambassador of the Galactic Federation of Light. And I keep thinking that, you know, this is such a human construct. This, you know, it's like the United Nations. I mean, all of this, it is a totally human cultural construct, let's put it that way. In a lot of ways, it kind of reminded me too of the Vatican coming out and saying, you know, if aliens come down and announce we're their presence, we're prepared to baptize them. So there may be some kind of supreme intelligence, energy, for whatever. That's assuming that everybody in the universe has the same kind of culturally constructed beliefs that we have. And I just see this whole article kind of trapped in that. And again, you know, we can't even have a functioning United Nations, let alone, you know, a body of disparate countries, which, and they're not even countries anymore. You know, the multinationals have completely superseded any concept of independent nations. So, I mean, are you going to have a confederation of conglomerates? That would be closer to the truth.
Whoever designed the emblem, the new Space Command, it has a Star Trek A on it.
I know. And it's like so much of this is being ripped off from Star Trek. And so it's almost as though Star Trek was part of a cultural indoctrination.
Right.
Place. So then, I mean, so you can get the people sort of into that line of thinking. And it goes even to the point of, you know, you look at the term UFOs, unidentified flying objects. Well, what about orbs? You know, what about pulsating things? What about things that come out from the ocean? I mean, what about, you know, just interdimensional? It's almost like you're putting it, by calling it a UFO, you're automatically defining it. It's an unidentified flying object.
There's new names for them now. The government wants to call it UAP, unidentified aerial phenomena.
But see, they're not necessarily aerial. And again, this UAP ties in completely with erasing previous history. Basically, since 2004, and people will forget the fact that UFOs go back forever.
There's a lot of history erasing going on.
And see, we're aware of it. You know, any of those, and Johnny knows that I'm somewhat of a historian. You know, I want to go back tens of thousands of years in ancient art megaliths and look at the deep historical perspective of UFOs. And I think what the media is doing, and keep in mind that five media conglomerates control 95% of the media on Earth. They've got interlocking directorships. They get together for meetings and whatever, and it is what you get on Fox is what you're going to get on CNN, what you're going to get in every, you know, just every media on Earth is going to basically give the same story.
Right.
And I think that's what's happening with COVID right now. And then I think, unfortunately, I think we have a generation that has been indoctrinated with not questioning authority. And sometimes I wonder if I'm the last old hippie who still questions authority. And it's really distressing. If you question authority, you become public enemy even amongst your neighbors.
How dare you question your government
or the media or anything else.
Right.
So, yeah, this to me has become extremely troublesome because I am finding, even with the COVID, how can we trust those tests? How can we control the numbers? In the meanwhile, every country in a lockdown. And when you have to think, well, gee, now 3 million children die of starvation every year. You know, 3 million people die from malaria every year. I mean, you have 250,000 people die from preventable medical mistakes. How come those deaths don't matter? You have to wonder, well, what's the agenda behind this global lockdown behind COVID? And we just have to take the word of the powers that be that there's legitimacy behind it. If ever there was going to be a takedown, a reset, whatever you want to call it, it is now when we are immobilized and separated. Thanks to people like Johnny, you know, renegades, the mavericks, you know, like us, you know, have a voice.
And push all this fast food and all this unhealthy lifestyles that kill millions, if not billions, of people annually. But suddenly, what is it, 1% or 0.01% in this virus? So we got to lock everything down.
Something like that?
Something like that. Yeah, right. Really low. Lock everything down.
For a test run.
Well, that's right. And then, you know, the CDC, you know, I follow the CDC. I, as far as I'm concerned, the WHO, the World Health Organization, is very suspicious. Yeah. But when the CDC came out with, 6 weeks, 2 months ago, with this report that they were getting positive results from sterile lab water, you know, my antennas went up. And they have come up with a number of reports that have been completely ignored by the media. And you have to wonder, well, and I can't even get on AccuWeather to find out what the weather report is without getting the latest COVID deaths. So, I mean, it's being thrown at us. And believe me, if you question, you know, these stay at home, these shelter at home heroes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you are equivalent to a terrorist or a criminal.
And you should have your platform taken away and removed, and you should have no voice in society.
I made the mistake of responding to somebody on one of our, you know, our local neighborhood site. It's like Port Townsend neighborhood, that anybody outside without a mask should be treated as a criminal. So, of course, I had to respond and say, well, I'm wearing a mask, but it's for it's chemtrail protection. I swear, oh, my. For 2 weeks, I was the most hated person in Port Townsend. Progressive liberal community. And I found, you know, that I was absolutely... I think if they knew my address, they would have come and clubbed me. I mean, this was horrifying. You can't question authority without literally becoming a public enemy.
Right.
So this, that was my first hint that, it's almost like people are being programmed not to question authority.
Groupthink.
Well, I don't think it was an accident that the United States government put out a how-to on zombie apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think people think alike when they're in fear and become like zombie-like creatures.
Or the vaccine is going to be the one that turns us all into zombies, flesh-eating like on TV.
Ooh, knowing that Bill Gates is behind this? And believe me, as far as I'm concerned, Bill Gates is right in there among the powers of evil. The one thing he's ever said that I believe is absolutely true is that right at the beginning of this whole COVID lockdown, he made the remark that more people were going to die from the consequences of a lockdown than from the virus itself. And I think that's absolutely true. And then when you consider that every time, you know, a shelter-at-home hero cancels a wedding reception, any kind of an event, the flowers that would have been there are not being bought from that Colombian producer,
right,
whose children are going to starve. Seems to be this inability to look at the ripple effects of one's actions, that what you do, you don't buy flowers here, a child starves in Colombia. And that, I mean, that's, you know, and this, you know, because I am a world traveler. I'm a small boat circumnavigator. So I am a citizen of the world. I see the world as a globe, not my neighborhood.
Right.
Something like this comes up, I see, well, what's the ripple effect of my actions on somebody in Zimbabwe or Colombia or Sri Lanka? That it's not a pretty picture.
Yeah, the ripple effect.
But keep eating that fast food and living unhealthy lifestyles and get diabetes and die from that. That's okay.
Yeah, GMOs and chemtrails. I mean, you name it.
Right.
Sugar, fructose, and
fluoride.
There are other things that go on with MUFON besides seeing UFOs, UAPs, USOs. You're also a part of a experiencer team, aren't you?
Washington State is exceptional because MUFON has two arms. It has the arm that investigates sighting reports, and then it has another arm that that works with experiencer reports, and it's headed by Kathleen Martin, who is the niece of Betty and Barney Hill. You know, in the early 60s.
Oh, that was famous.
Absolutely. You know, they basically brought the whole experiencer phenomena out into the open. And believe me, Washington State is really quite extraordinary because there's 32 researchers on the experiencer research team internationally, and now we currently have 4 in Washington State, another who's wanting to get on, and somebody else who's just sending her papers to be put on it. So, I mean, somehow Washington State is absolutely at the forefront of the whole experiencer movement within MUFON.
What is an experiencer for someone who might not know what that means?
Somebody who suspects they may have had a close encounter. They may have had missing time, abduction, any kind of like a close encounter with something unknown, something UFO related, not ghosts you know, not Bigfoot, things like that, but specifically related to a close encounter with something extraterrestrial.
I heard that Close Encounters of the Third Kind was based off of an actual event. Have you heard those things?
I heard that, was it Spielberg, director? Mm-hmm. Yes, he had a lot of inside information. And of course, there's all these stories about Roddenberry with Star Trek being the same thing. You know, that basically Star Trek was pretty, the information came from, you know, the deep state. So, which is why I wonder just how much of what we even perceive as the whole UFO phenomena hasn't somehow been fed to us, given to us, that we may be totally off track because we're so ingrained with the whole, you know, the whole movie, TV show perspective.
Like we're being prepared?
Well, in a filtered.
Conditioned?
Conditioned to perceive it in a certain way. And you have to think, you know, I don't know about you two, but I very much believe that geoengineering is going on and has gone on for decades.
Right.
And the streaks that you see across the sky, they're not contrails, they're chemtrails. Geoengineering has been literally going on for decades. In fact, when Bill Gates just came out just a week or so ago saying, this is something we need to do to combat global warming. I mean, it's coming out and acknowledging what's been going on for decades.
Yeah.
But you look up in the sky and it can be gridded. There can be 20 planes, 20 lines across the sky. You can see the plane, sometimes so close, you could almost see a pilot in it. You out to somebody and they can't see it.
Wow.
You know, literally, I mean, maybe it's like UFOs and ghosts and other things. Like, if you have the frame of reference, you can perceive these things. And if you don't have the frame of reference, you can look up in the sky, there it is, completely gridded from horizon to horizon, which it frequently is over Port Townsend, and half the people in town cannot see it. You know, and we've had some extraordinary sighting reports of, say, a huge triangular craft cruising down above, say, I-5 South. One case where a Canadian trucker reported this. I mean, you know, he did all of his research. You know, he's going north. He says he's watching this big triangular UFO just cruise down over I-5 South. Hundreds of people must have seen it. Hundreds. And we get one report from this guy. Did they not see it, or is it so because it's so improbable and they don't have a frame of reference that they simply tune it out?
Or they're lazy.
They could very well be so discombobulated with something that if it can't be, it isn't. They must have been imagining it. They'd be crazy to admit that they saw a huge triangular UFO.
I think you have something there. People are afraid to report or tell their friends that they saw something unusual. They don't want to be laughed at, and they don't want to lose their position in their society. So the government has made it very hard for people to come forward.
And the press.
You don't have to use guns if you have the ridicule factor. If people are afraid to become socially social pariahs for saying that they saw a UFO or anything like that, or even saying, well, gee, maybe, you know, I'm questioning the COVID and, you know, the motivations that might be about, or agendas that might
How
be
How dare you!
Somehow or other, that whole 60s imperative to question the dominant paradigm, to question authority, have somehow been wiped out. And I don't know how it's been done, but I think we old hippies are the last ones out there.
I just wonder about that, because the new generation coming up, we keep hurting their little feelings.
Right. Mm-hmm. I need a safe space.
Yeah.
Now you're going to need a big space safe space if you see a UFO.
Cherie and I were talking about this last week. I don't remember if it was on the air or off the air. You know, about this one world government kind of conspiracy. When it comes to, like, aliens, wouldn't you have to have a kind of one world representation, a one world, I want to say, government?
Well, look at it this way. Is not virtually every country under lockdown? I mean, you have to think there's got some kind of overriding governing body, you know, above the national level that basically dictated this to happen. And not only that, but say with the geoengineering that's going on all over the world. You can look at documentaries, you can look at ads, you can look at anything, and invariably there are those chemtrails in the background. There has to be some kind of governing body that supersedes the national level.
What is geoengineering?
The spraying of aerosols in the atmosphere purportedly to reduce or to have solar dimming to reduce global warming. So right. When you look up in the sky and you see all those lines across the sky, those are not contrails. And when you look outside and you see that milky white sky day after day after day, that is not haze. That's aerosols.
Yeah.
When did you go outside and just... When did you last see a bright blue sky? The sky has become milky white and no one even thinks about it.
Too busy staring at our phones.
That's right. When you start looking, you know, anywhere on the internet, TV, ads, it doesn't, children's programs, movies, and you'll see these chemtrails going behind and they're ubiquitous.
Yeah.
There's so much in the background, no one even sees them.
Yeah, you hear all kinds of bizarre explanations like, we're testing to see if we can change the weather. And
Have you been keeping track of what's happening in China? There's a lot of speculation that what's going on in China now, with there's massive floods, snow, it's snowing in Beijing when it's 95 degrees out. They're having weather there that they have never had before. And there's a lot of thought that there may be a climate war going on right now, you know, targeting China. But yeah, when you think about the, that not only this COVID lockdown, which is global, but the geoengineering that's going on globally, there has to be some governing body that supersedes national governments.
Right.
Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission,
right.
They're the ones. If there's any interaction with the others, that's who's going to be interacting, and we're basically going to be told or directed after the fact.
They consider us sheep, the cabal and the elite. They maneuver things to make our lives what they want it to be. And there's so many examples. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that there is a deep state. In a way, I don't really like the word cabal because it kind of makes it sound conspiratorial, when all it really is a term for, say, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, all of these groups of, you know, where the 0.0001% meet and determine the course of our lives behind our backs.
And the World Bank. That's another step to a one world government.
Well, Maureen, we have gone like way over time. We're going to have an extended version on the website. Any closing comments?
You know, what's really kind of fun is that I'm one of those information freaks where I come across just the most incredible information just poking around. Nothing gives me more pleasure than pass on really good information that most people don't have.
So you're willing to come back?
Oh, I would come on as often as you'd ask me.
Well, that'll do it for this episode of Strange Harbor. If you'd like to read some strange stories, find more information on Maureen Morgan or MUFON, watch this episode in its extended version online, log on to strangeharbor.net.
You're listening to Strange Harbor. Ghosts, UFOs, aliens, Sasquatch, all things strange. Online at strangeharbor.net. Strange Harbor. Be strange.